This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Business Success Tips, where in this show, we are going to have a conversation that will change your life.
Ooh.
And it's about conversation.
It's about conversation. We did a show several years ago.
Who's here?
Okay. Well, JC still has a water feature.
That dude, seriously, you know what? He needs like hospice.
Over a month. Yeah, we got to put him away.
Anyhow, he'll be back.
I hope.
I have faith he will recuperate if he doesn't dehydrate first. And so he's not here. It's Steve.
Hello there.
And Sean.
Hello.
And it's interesting. The last couple of weeks, we've had the sort of technical nerds talking about philosophic, which is interesting because I concern, you know, without our sort of anti technical person,
geek foils.
I thought these shows are going to be really boring because they're going to talk about all this, you know, technical crap. And instead, we've had some pretty, I consider, good philosophic conversations about life in general and how to succeed, including business. So we had a show several years ago, one of my favorite shows, about the power of conversation. And the question is, I'll ask you, Steve, have you ever had any conversations, just a conversation with one person or a group of people that had a profound influence on your life?
On my life or on their life?
Either way.
Well, you know, I hate to stroke your already massive ego.
I see. Well, at least something's big.
Don't feed the bears. Yeah.
No, but in all sincerity, I mean, you have one of the reasons I keep paying you all this money is because you have this capacity to provide advice that's very timely and effective. So, yeah, you know, I think in many ways you've changed the course of my life.
So, but what kind of conversations do that? I mean, to me, when you think about, oh, it's just a conversation, and I basically have, you know, 4 or 5 conversations a day. Well, this is a conversation we're having right now.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's telling someone something very pointedly that they should be doing to make a change in their life. And that's exactly what you do. You say, you need to do this. And people can choose to accept or ignore your advice.
Actually, there's another way that can come across too, because the profundity of it is not necessarily related to that it be directed directly at the person, like saying, you do this. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation the other day with a very good friend of mine, and I shared a story with him, which was somewhat similar to something he's going through. He's going through a horrible breakup. I mean, like, she had kids. It's, you know, and they were, he, it was, you know, it was his first real huge love, and the kids loved him. And anyway, so it's a horrible breakup, and it's really brought him to the bottom. And I shared a story of a time in my life, and he's like, you know what? I've talked to a dozen people about this, and this is the only conversation that has really had a big impact on me, and I feel better from. And all I did was share my story. I didn't tell him, be this, do this, you know, everything. But I think there are different ways that can happen.
Actually, people tell you to coach your kids, rather than telling them to do something, is to tell them stories. Mm-hmm. And that's how they learn. That's how kids learn.
In fact, I was watching Lisa Considered a Bad Movie. Lisa's my wife. It's unless the you know, star dies, it's not a good movie. Just the way she looks at things. It's not realistic. But it was called Australia. But it has stuff about their Aborigine. And, you know, they've been, except, you know, I think there were 750,000 Aborigine, and, you know, the smallpox wiped out 90% of them, you know, I don't know, 100 years ago. But when they talk about life, they've had a culture for 40,000 years, apparently haven't felt the need to change it. Interesting. And they said stories are what life is about. That's how you communicate. That's how, you know, things happen. It's all in stories. And what differentiates man from a cat is his ability to tell stories. Mm.
If somebody said to me in business or in marketing, especially in marketing, but it just in business in general, or even just in life, said to me, what would be the one video or DVD that you would recommend me renting? I would say the Joseph Campbell, the interviews with Bill Moyers.
Yeah.
Because he was all about the telling of stories, and his his anthropological studies, studies of cultural civilizations and the similarity between different civilizations, mm-hmm. and that they were telling the same stories over and over and over and over again. It was one of the more fascinating things I've ever seen, even though it was just two people sitting in a room talking.
Well, the most popular book on the planet is a compilation of stories, right? Which is?
The Bible.
The Bible.
Right.
It's a compilation of stories. That's right. All it is, right? And that's had a profound effect on a lot of people, a lot of the spiritual books.
But that's one of the stories that he talks about.
Well, and the Christian, the Bhagavad Gita is story of Krishna. I mean, they're all, most spiritual teachings are all stories.
They're fit the same archetype. They fit, the story fits in the same framework. Mm-hmm. That's what's really interesting. And even in places geographically dispersed where there was no connection between
right,
the peoples.
Like the Iliad and the Odyssey and blah, blah, blah.
And different continents right. and things like that.
There's always a story.
Aboriginal cultures right. that had nothing to do with each other developing the same stories. Anyway, it's just really fascinating.
Right. So, a clever marketing thing. If you're going to try to, you know, change somebody's mind about your product or service, don't tell them about it. Tell them a story about it.
Isn't that what David Meerman Scott preaches?
Yeah. Well, that's Seth Godin's thing. Marketers are storytellers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's Seth Godin.
Well, but Meerman Scott also says
but it's
it.
All so about telling a story.
You might have said it a second, right?
Yeah. But it is telling a story. It's like, I knew this client who, or I had a friend who. Instead of saying, you know, this widget will double your productivity, you say, I had a client once, or I had a friend once. And my experience was this happened and they had a really cool thing. I mean, you tell the story about whatever the widget did.
It walks around the ego. That's the thing. It diffuses the ego bomb and it allows the person to approach the information on their own terms mm-hmm. as opposed to them being challenged with their ego. Because once the ego shield goes up, it becomes harder to right. absorb.
So becoming a good salesperson is about becoming a good storyteller.
Or a good marketer, or yeah,
good parent,
good grandparent,
or good deflector. Right, yeah. I just saw Frost Nixon the other night.
I did.
Oh, it's great. And so basically, Frost loses the first three rounds because he plays into Nixon, you know, telling his
Nixon
stories.
Was a bright guy,
he's very bright guy. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, and it wasn't until Frost could get him off the storytelling and really trap him,
right.
that he really got him.
Right. The ability to tell stories, and when I think about it. Conversations are probably have the most profound effect on anybody's life. I mean, whether it's I had a conversation decided to get divorced, had a conversation decided to get married, I had a conversation decided to quit my job. I had one conversation with a client a week ago, a new client. And out of that one conversation for an hour and 10 minutes, he cut all his employees by 10% because it made sense. You know, which saved him, I don't know, $7,000-$9,000 a month. He changed the nature of his business. He moved somebody from Sacramento to here. He made these huge, profound changes in his entire. He decided rather than sell his business and move another one, he decided to keep it and figure out how to, you know, make it work for him instead of him work for it. And all these, you know, like huge events came out of an hour conversation.
And was it because you were the first authoritative external voice he had heard with respect to his business? I mean, what can you attribute it to?
Well, I think my mission in life is to be a discerner. And we said before in another point, a discerner is a person that points out the consequences of behavior in advance without judgment. So
I think discerning isn't discerning essentially, you know, like the crucible of making distinguishments between
I'm going to define this. This is just my definition of discernment. Is pointing out the consequences of behavior in advance without judgment. So it's saying, if you stand in front of the truck, you will get run over and you will die. I'm not saying dying is good, dying is bad, maybe go to heaven, maybe go to hell, I don't know.
Like
but
an oracle.
But in discernment, it's interesting, is, and I think this is because I have a good sense of intuition, whatever comes to me when I'm in that discerning kind of position, it's like 99.9% accurate. I mean, like, I can't remember in 30 years where it hasn't been accurate.
Would you say you're most effective the first time you meet a new client?
Sometimes yes, and depends on the client. It depends if the client's ready or not. Mm-hmm. If they like want the information, somebody has the best meeting ever had, somebody's the worst meeting
so
ever had.
So this guy was wide open. You walked in and he was ready. He was just
he was primed. Like absolutely ready. And we're changing his business to focusing on a construction business, focusing on a service business. It's a dream as a client because you just sort of tell them the truth as you see it, or, you know, discern, like, this is what I see happening, and boom, changes happen. So when you think about it, conversations are huge in life.
Yet it's a loss. It's a dying art. Like, we're so busy. Going back to previous episodes, we talked about how, you know, our society has become busy. We're, you know, we're constantly, we're even especially right now with the economy the way it is, we're working harder. Both parents are working. People are busy and busy and busy. And even though technology is supposed to make our lives easier, it actually, I think, fills them up more.
It makes
and people are on Facebook all day or wherever the hell they're doing.
Yeah, and everything's down to sound bites. I mean, Facebook, Twitter, even right. conversations with your spouse. I mean, my wife just got back from the East Coast. I hadn't seen her for a week. We still haven't had a conversation since she's gotten back.
Yeah,
I believe what was also interesting is content versus context, right? Content is what you say, and context is the way you say it, right? So what's interesting is that, I'm especially with women, and I'm being prejudiced here, sometimes the act of listening is incredibly therapeutic. You know, if you tell your wife, just cut to the point, are we going or not?
You don't feel very listened to.
As opposed to somebody listening to let them, why we might go, why we might not go, what are the advantages of going, what are the advantages of staying.
Well, now we're getting into the difference between boys and girls. Sometimes girls just want to, you know, just get it out.
Just talk, right.
And you just have to say,
sometimes clients want
to
talk.
You just have to sit there and listen to it.
And actually the act of listening is part of a conversation, can be very therapeutic, just listening.
Yeah, well, it's therapeutic on both. But it's interesting. You're talking about it being therapeutic to the listener, which I agree with. Most of the time, I think about it being a therapeutic to the person being listened to.
Oh, absolutely.
So few people are good listeners. And we did an episode on that, which is probably gone from the Great Purge, I'm assuming. But so we should recreate some of that content now. But the value of good listening. And it's a lost art. And I fully agree with that. So what is the value to the person listening into this podcast?
Well, it's if you're in your business, when you're talking to an employee or talking to a client, quote, cutting to the chase isn't always the best decision. The most efficient, like, okay, you want to do it or not, or let's get to the point, or what the act of, you know, just communicate and we're done is not necessarily the best use of time. Because
or always trying to solve the issue, or say, you know, I made a really bad mistake recently with an employee who was, she was really freaked out about a technical issue. And to me, it was just a technical issue. And, you know, I kind of made the, it could be worse comment. Mm-hmm. And it was the worst possible thing I could have said, right? I should have just empathized with, I understand this technical thing is a major event for you. And I didn't do that. So.
And it can cause people to quit. It causes people to get, God knows, it can mess up relationships between you and employees or spouses or clients or whatever. So, I mean, think about it. I get paid a lot of money to listen well and to have conversations with people that, interesting, I have no clue of what I'm going to talk about ever, including this podcast, until it happens, which I find a very interesting, because I'm, you know, my biggest
skill
is
probably.
And that's
why we were so damn scared when you asked that question at the Twitter conference.
Which question?
Oh, it was interesting. Go ahead.
Well, you know, because Paul never plans or premeditates anything he says.
Right.
We were sitting there. You might remember this from another podcast, but we were sitting in this room with all these techie people talking about the Twitter API, and Doug Williams of Twitter was there, and Paul puts up his hand, and he's in front of Andreas and me, and Andreas and I just look at each other, just, you know, wide eyes.
I am somewhat,
somewhat
technically challenged.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, he surprised us. He asked a question where we kind of held our breath at the end of the question, and Doug Williams kind of took it as a
good question.
It as a good question, yeah.
It was a good question. Yeah. So the other thing intimate conversation is you can also be intuitive in a conversation. You don't have to plan the conversation before you have it.
Yeah, well, that's you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I think that it's amazing what you hear when you listen. And good salespeople, sorry if I'm taking away your footstool there. Good salespeople are the ones who are really good listeners because they, I mean, obviously some of it's for their own aims, but if you really stop the world and you listen to what the person, in this case, I'm talking about a sales situation with a prospect or a client,
sure,
what they're actually saying, you're making them feel listened to, but if you're really paying attention to the words, they're giving you all the information you need to sell them, keep them as a customer, and guess what else? You're doing something that probably no other vendor does, which is stopping the world and listen instead of rushing to judgment, decision, fear,
right,
whatever would make you stop that conversation. And that's what I was always really good at when we did real-time publishers, is I would just be on the phone. I'm like, because you know, I'm going to just listen to, I want to hear, because how can I even start to solve your problem, whatever it is, or even know what your problem is until I listen to you. Now, sometimes it's hard because you gotta get people to talk in the first place.
Right.
But if you can get somebody to talk, be good at getting somebody to talk, work on that skill, and then shut the hell up and listen. Right. And it is amazing what you can find out.
Great rule of sales. You know, how many ears do you have? How many mouths do you have? Right. And that's the proportion.
And I think it should be listening 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you ask an open-ended question, you listen. And people will sell themselves if you ask the right questions.
That's exactly. Yes. It happens on its own. That's what's weird. It's auto magic.
Right.
It literally, the sale creates itself, because what the customer or the prospect will do is lay out for you, all you'll need to do is fill in the blanks. They'll lay out for you exactly what they want, what they need, the solution, the way they want it. They'll tell you about the frustrations they've had with other vendors, whatever it is, but they'll tell you, here's what you need. Now, they may not say it explicitly, but if you're listening and you read between the lines, you will get a formula for exactly what that customer needs. Well, and I have found that 9 out of 10 times.
You know who's a great model? Is Larry King. Because if you ever watch Larry King, he asks a really good question and then he shuts the hell up.
Right. Well, and I have a question that's very pointed and it's served me for, you know, 35 years, which is some form of the magic wand question. If I had a magic wand, I could do anything for your business as a consultant or as a technician or whatever you are.
Yeah, that's a perfect leading question.
Know, if I had a magic wand, could do anything for your business, what would it be? And all they have to do is answer that question.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one.
And my pitch is, what do you do? You know, make more money in less time and have more fun. That's my pat answer.
All right. I'm just going to say, everybody out there is listening in right now, steal Paul's question in your business. I don't care if you're a plumber, an architect, a consultant, a nurse at a hospital. If every person that you meet, try this for 1 week. Say that question. If I had a magic wand and I could do anything for you.
As a blank.
What would it be? And see what happens. Because that is a really good
one. And then you shut up.
I haven't heard a better one than that.
And they will tell you.
And shut up. That's the key.
Right. You have to shut up. And then they will tell you, well, and sometimes I really want to work less. I want to work more. I want to have more time with my family. I have less time with my family. I want to play whatever that is. Or I don't want to have to worry about this or the next thing. And then when they answer that question, the key is not to jump to a conclusion. The tendency is to go, oh, I can fix da 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 da. You go, that's interesting. That's, some form of tell me more.
Yeah, that's what you don't want to be guilty of premature elaboration.
That's great.
That's right.
And on that,
very messy.
And on that wonderful term, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We're going to premature elaborate?
We're going to prematurely elaborate from our sponsor. And we are back.
Was
Thank
it good
you
for you?
Yeah, it was good for me.
That's good. That's good.
Good elaboration.
It was okay.
So if we just, I'm going to ask probably an inappropriate question for a podcaster, but if we had a 2 minute or 2 second inadvertent silence, would that get filled in with an ad?
If we had a 2 second inadvertent, no, it wouldn't, because actually in the episodes,
yeah,
you mark the point where the 2 second silence is. So the two things are, it must mark where it is and it must exist.
Okay.
So right. We're talking about our ad serving system.
Right. It automatically.
Sorry to ask that on air, but I just had to ask that question.
So, when you ask
a tolerant audience,
when you ask this magic wand question, and then they say, "Well, usually the answer to that question is that's a good question." That's the most common response I get. Is that's a good question? I haven't really thought about that. And then you keep being quiet and say, "Well," and you give them the silence, because people hate silence. I mean, usually people try to fill it with something, and that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
So you listen. And you keep listening, and they will keep elaborating. You keep sort of drawing them out. Well, for example, I'll try it with Steve right now. As a consultant, if I could do anything for your company, what would it be?
Give me the ability to take more time off and make more money.
Okay, so make more money, less time, and have more fun.
There you go.
Okay, so I found that a common thread among a lot of people. And that's my 2 second elevator or 10 second elevator pitch. But you elaborate them, and they'll generally say some form. They say, "Well, what kind of? How much money is a lot of money to you?" And you would say,
$1 billion.
No, I mean, really, who wants to be a millionaire?
No. I mean, what's enough money for you in your current state of mind? Is it
what's enough money?
Well, I mean, what is that in annual?
I hate when we get into this.
Okay, well, whatever. Let's pick a number. Let's say it's $500,000. I'm just going to pick a number.
Okay.
Okay, whatever it is for you. Yeah. Maybe it's 100,000, but it's some number, all right? Because okay. It's important to get the person's values out of them.
Yeah.
You can, because some people may say, well, if I can make $100,000 a year. Some people say, if I could make $1 million. It's a different kind of thing.
Well, it's also an important barometer, because if you don't know what you want, how the hell are you going to know when you're satisfied, happy, or achieving your goals?
Right. And you got to know whether the person is. If they say, I want to make $10 million next year and work one day, you're going, well, we have, that's possible, but could be tough.
The biggest problem that people have is they don't examine their lives and determine what they want and need and then how to go for it. So I think really you become the Greek chorus in a way. I mean, it's like you're saying the things that they should be saying themselves, but you need to hear it from somebody else. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I'm not belittling you, because I think you have a lot of talent in doing that. But that is the value, is getting the person to actually think about it themselves. Because they have to have ownership in that.
Well, I would say we had some conversation when I was your consultant about, remember the one about, I remember one conversation I think that had a profound effect on your life. Do you remember which one it was?
You're talking about the Rockstar Bakery one?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, no, I remember that. I remember where I was sitting and all that. That definitely had.
So that was a conversation, right?
Yeah, no. It was,
and maybe
it was,
we can use that as an example, because that's between you and me, that's an example of
one that's a real conversation. Right. So yeah, that was a conversation where it's like the wake-up call, because you're so entrenched in what you're doing. And in my case, I was in the consultant guy, and I was doing all the work, and I was really technical and, you know, really involved.
You're fixing computers.
But I mean, none of it made any sense with like my overall, like overarching life goals and where I wanted to go. I was just busy. But I had all this talent and skill and notoriety
Background. What happened is you were writing books that were successful on a worldwide level.
Yes. I was one of the top Windows NT people in the world.
And you were speaking in conferences around the world on Windows NT. So they would fly you to wherever, Holland or someplace.
Right. Sweden.
Do a 3-hour talk on Windows NT, blah, blah, blah. Right. So you had world rock star famous status.
Yes. Thanks to the magazine and those,
for whatever reasons, right. In Windows NT, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Yet your life was about fixing computers for $80 an hour, right?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Money wasn't in the rock star stuff. It was in the venture journey.
But the money wasn't there. I was just like spending all my time. I wasn't capitalizing on the fame, because the number one thing about fame, I don't actually seek fame, but I recognize the value of having fame to get it, to have a bigger paycheck.
It's a means to an end.
Yeah, right. I mean, actually, fame is a pain in the ass. So, but if you have it, you should at least be leveraging it to get a bigger paycheck. If you're not, you're a fool.
So we had that conversation. You know, it was something about, you know, why are you a rock star
owning a bakery? Right? Why are you making donuts? You want to talk to me about making donuts, or you want to talk about being on tour as a rock star? And I was like, oh. And of course, that made me feel better, because then I felt like a rock star.
Keys to be successful, you need to be a legend in your own mind first. We've talked about that. It's the first person you got to convince, right?
Yeah.
And then there was another conversation, which are real-time publishers. I thought, well, we could do da-da-da. We had this little conversation about real-time publishers, and we got it started. And when you're having one of those really cool conversations, it's hard, like Twitter, we came up with, it was your idea. It's an exchange.
Well,
right?
not Twitter, but yes.
No,
The Twitter tool for businesses.
Tweet funnel. I would say in all scales is a success for how long it's been a business, blah, blah, blah. It's doing very well. But the point is, that was a conversation at breakfast that we had about, you said it'd be cool if I had a tool that did such and such. And I said, well, and your part was coming up with the idea. My part of the conversation was, you know, sort of convincing you to move forward with the idea. And that was a conversation.
Right.
And it's had, you know, who knows where it's all going to go, but it certainly has had.
You know, at minimum, it's been really exciting. And, you know, talking about, it hasn't produced fame per se, but we've got to kind of rub shoulders with some of the famous people.
Well, we have one of them.
Cool.
We have one of the most successful apps.
Yeah.
It's certainly top 1% of apps for Twitter, I would say.
Yeah. We're getting mentions on. We got mentioned in CIO magazine the other day, which was kind of
right in TechCrunch and all that. So cool. we have you know, one of the most, you know, top 1% of applications for Twitter, and Twitter is one of the phenomena on the planet right now.
Definitely.
They say it may go, but it is a phenomena. So it puts us in rock star status on a rock star product at this point. It may change.
Right.
But that came out of a breakfast conversation over 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, again, the power of conversation, it is amazing if instead of killing it with cynicism or realism or whatever the heck you're going to call it. Know-it-allism or ain't going to workism. You know, you have the conversation and let it flow. And don't say, especially when you have those moments you feel like the energy's flowing and you have, I have to go to the bathroom or go to work or whatever. And there's a conscious, like the energy's flowing, stuff's coming from the universe, you're feeling good, the other person's feeling good, and all that. That moment kind of thing is happening, right? And then you cut it off for some dumb reason. If you're in that space or whatever you want to call it, keep it going.
But you know what we don't do enough of is the sort of brainstorming mastermind thing. You know, and that was kind of like a mini mastermind thing, right? Where we were all sitting around figuring out what do we need to do. We came up with this idea and then we ran with it. But imagine if we spend more time sitting around the table, 5-6 people just brainstorming on what we could do, some of the ideas we come up with.
I know. Don't do enough of that. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Right.
Yeah. And hey, you know what else? I really dig it when we, and I know listeners have written in about our live jam sessions that we've done before. We've done a couple of them. I don't know if they survived the content, but that's something we should do more too. Maybe even get some listeners dialed in, figure that out technically, and have people call in and then do a live jam session, but also for ourselves.
Right, right.
I mean, just because I think everybody can benefit from listening to that and benefit from doing it themselves. Because you're right, Steve. I mean, that's where it all happens. That's the brainchild. That's the process. Everything else is just the mechanical implementation.
Right.
But that moment, that's genesis. That's the birth.
The aha experience, right?
Yeah. Everything else, literally. I mean, if you think about every moment, just I'll pick any business, or we'll pick Green Living Ideas or whatever. Everything since that conversation has just been implementation. It's mechanical.
Right.
It's not the sexy part. It's not the entrepreneurial
and
part.
For a small business owner, here's a good tip. I used to have a guy that worked for me, and he used to insist that we would get out of the office offsite and have offsite meetings. And I said, yeah, but we might miss, you know, an important lead that calls in. You know, the world's going to end if we leave the office. And he said, no, we got to get out of the office and sit down and talk. So the other piece of advice that I might offer to our listeners in small business is, you know, get with your compatriots, get out, get away from your environment, go somewhere offsite and just talk about.
And have conversations about business, have conversations about, ask the right questions. I ask a question, if you're going to start a business all over, would you hire our employees back? Those employees you wouldn't hire, you should fire. If you had no limits, what would your business look like? And those are open, and we all have access to infinite intelligence if we just let it show up, you know?
We got to cut it off there. We're a little over time, but it's been a fascinating conversation tonight.
And call, you know, write it. We're a brain trust here for you guys. So,
by the way, weren't we going to do a plug for our great?
Oh, we are. We have the most awesome engineer in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have any engineering needs,
Dave Traska, it's Chrasta. He is the man. He is phenomenal.
We've been through many engineers.
We have.
God knows we've been through many engineers.
He does all my podcasts. He does Tech Exec Cast, Green Talk Radio, Ad Chat Cafe. The guy's phenomenal.
Awesome. So if you need an engineer, he's reasonably priced. He has an incredible job. He's incredible. And
contact us at friends@businesssuccesstips.org, and we'll get you in touch with Dave.
Right. So if you need an engineer, let us know. And thank you, Dave, for all the work you've done for us.
Yes,
an incredible job.
Much.
Incredible job.
And thank you to all of you out there.
So if there's anything we can do for all those listeners out there, please email us, whatever you can do. We are here for you. So let us know.
We'll see you next time.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
LexNet Consulting Group is your one-stop resource for a selection of award-winning CRM, email marketing, and business intelligence solutions. LexNet serves small to mid-sized companies across the Western U.S. from our offices in the San Francisco Bay Area, Southern California, and Seattle. LexNet's tailored business solutions are designed to increase revenue and reduce costs. LexNet will help you develop a consistent sales, marketing, and customer support approach to drive your company's revenues, even during tough economic times. Every business has unique needs, and LexNet will help you meet those needs with customized, integrated solutions that give your business easily accessible and actionable information. To find out more about the powerful and effective business management solutions that LexNet offers, please visit lexnetcg.com, where you'll find helpful resources including articles, white papers, industry news, customer success stories, and informative podcasts like this one. While there, be sure to sign up for our Customer 360 newsletter filled with CRM and email marketing news, tips, and tricks. LexNet, your partner in business success.